reprint page 5370, December the 15th, 1913. His servants shall serve him. Inasmuch as ye did it unto one of these, my brethren, even these least, ye did it unto me. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, the Revised Version. The opening verse of this study furnishes us the key to all the preaching that Jesus did, so far as the record goes. His one message was the good tidings of the kingdom of God. This is still the good tidings, and any of the Lord's people who have not yet learned that the kingdom of God is the very center and essence of the hope of the church and the hope of the world have not profitably read and believed the Bible. The Jews, not being ready for the kingdom, were as a nation rejected from being Messiah's associates in the kingdom. But not all were rejected. Hence we read that to as many as received Jesus, to them gave he liberty to become sons of God, by the begetting and anointing of the Holy Spirit, which first came at Pentecost. Surely this is good tidings. Those sons of God, if faithful, are to be with Jesus by and by, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ their Lord in this heavenly kingdom. Their honor and blessing shall be great, for they shall be like their Master and see him as he is and share his glory. But this will not be all. If they develop this spirit of love, they will thereby be qualified for association with the Master in his great work of blessing mankind, rolling away the curse and uplifting humanity out of sin and death conditions. Surely this is good tidings as stated in this lesson, and the same good tidings were heralded by those angels who proclaimed the Master's birth, saying, "Behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people." Thus far it has been good tidings only to God's servants and handmaidens, the church. But it shall be good tidings to all when all the deaf ears shall be unstopped, and when all the blind eyes shall be opened, and they shall see the glories of Messiah's kingdom. While Jesus was thus declaring the kingdom, he was not begging his way. We have no suggestion that he ever took up a collection or in any manner solicited money. Many think that this is a suggestion that the followers of Christ should likewise make no appeals for money, but merely use of their own substance and such other monies as shall voluntarily be given unto them. However, this is for each to decide for himself. Amongst the healed ones was Mary of Magdala, out of whom the Lord had cast seven demons. In other words, the poor woman was in the condition in which many are who are in insane asylums. Her trouble was not organic, but caused by the harassing of the seven fallen angels who had taken possession of her. Whoever believes the Bible message must believe that there are fallen angels, spirit beings who have a malevolent influence upon humanity to the extent that they can gain control and who must be resisted by the will. Mary apparently was a woman of wealth. Released from the power of the demons, she was so grateful to Jesus that she did her best to serve him on every occasion. Other honorable women are also mentioned as having contributed to the maintenance of the Lord. Let me bury my father. Some were attracted to Jesus, evidently with the thought that one so gifted and so well supplied with the necessities of life must be wealthy. One such said to the Lord, "I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." But apparently his ardor was cooled when Jesus informed him that he had no property, no home of his own, although there were numerous homes to which he was welcome. Foxes have holes of their own, and birds have nests of their own, but the Son of Man had no home that he could call his own. None but the very sincere would likely be attracted to follow a leader under such circumstances. Wealth attracts many, poverty few. Another said to Jesus in substance, "Lord, you may count me as one of your disciples, but I have a father, and I feel as though I must stay with him until his death." The reply of Jesus shows us the importance he attaches to every service we can render to the Heavenly Father's cause. He said to him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Is it not time to awake? The whole world is already dead from the divine standpoint. The sentence of death that passed upon Adam involved all of his children. The only ones whom the scriptures recognize as possessed of any life at the present time are those who become related to the life giver, Jesus. The Master intimates that all such should take a different view of life from others. There are plenty in the world who can attend to the earthly things, few who can attend to the greater and more important work of proclaiming the kingdom and gathering the kingdom class. This is the most important work in the world because it is God's work, and those who engage in it are co-laborers with God. Be it noticed again that it was the kingdom of God that was worthy of this preaching and this sacrifice. Alas, how strange it is that so little of the preaching of later times is along this line. In other words, the gospel message that Jesus and his disciples delivered has been lost, forgotten, neglected. Is it not time for all Bible students to awaken to the great privilege of preaching the same message that the Master and his appointed ones at the First Advent preached? Lessons to be learned. Another came to Jesus, saying, I will follow you, but I wish first to go and bid farewell to those who are at home. I will spend a little time with them, and before long I will be with you in the work. It was not heartlessness on Jesus' part that suggested the answer. He said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back,